Hey there, Bucks fans. A few quick points of note before we get started on the Ira Kaufman podcast presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Thursday night is our draft party, Buffalo Wild Wings, South Tampa, on Dale Mabry, outdoors. It all gets started about 5:30. Music outside, full menu inside, buffet option outside, and the draft will be outside where you can view indoors as well. Hundreds of people expected. It's just a fun time with a lot of fun Bucks fans. Thank you to Buffalo Wild Wings Bud Light, providing the beer and all kinds of specials. We're just excited to be with Bucks fans who just are so hardcore about the draft, and it's an all-night kind of affair. So get out there. Ira Kaufman himself will be out there, and he is always accepting free drinks, free food, free gifts, and anything else that you have to give him. Also, we've heard from fans who want us to address the Justin Pawlowski situation, and frankly, we're not going to be doing it on this podcast because there is nothing to say. The charges were shocking over here, reprehensible, and they speak for themselves, as does our statement on the matter last week. That is the end. There is really nothing else to say. There is no more connection between Joe Bucks fan and that situation. And unfortunately, in this day and age, when you do talk about something in depth on a podcast, people can splice your audio and pretend you're saying something else and put it out there. And I don't want to give anyone the opportunity to do that. And really, as we talked about off the air here, there really is nothing to say. It's just shocking and disgusting, and it's over. Here's the Ira Kaufman podcast. Enjoy. Yeah, yeah, The Ira Kaufman podcast draft week is here. It is on. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee D. Kemper is here. And the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the king of Newport, Richie, the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. How are you, Ira?
Doing well. Lee, our next to last podcast before the 2019 NFL draft gets underway. It's an exciting time for Buck fans. Hope springs eternal in Tampa, just like it does in Buffalo and Miami and especially Cleveland.
Well, they got hope.
They got hope.
All right, Ira, we are presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed
Morse. I got it right here, baby. Right here.
Right on your chest, emblazoned Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.
Black polo.
Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa.
I am in black. Does that signify anything, Lee, as we talk about the Bucks draft?
Well, that's certainly
Let's
a dark attitude or dark subject, yes.
Maybe the 1989 draft. I don't know. Who cares about that? Anyway, Ira, of course, as we heard to open the podcast, the websites are edmorsecadillactampa.com, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. All the April offers are there. Backed by Morse, more than 1.2 million customers of Ed Morse since their inception. We're very proud of all the great service they provide and for providing you to the great people of Tampa Bay. Now, Ira, later in the podcast, we have a special guest, Dr. David Wank, our super fan analyst, a man who's much smarter than we are, all put together.
He makes a lot of great points, I'll tell you that.
And he's been on the podcast before, so we'll dive into the draft with him. But one thing we haven't gotten a chance to talk about, Ira, because of our timing of our podcast, was the uniqueness of the schedule release and what we saw. And there's a lot of whining across the country. Oh, the Bucks got screwed in this whole thing. You know, I want to hear your take, and I read your column about this, but quit crying is what is my attitude. They got a beautiful schedule for those first three games, a chance to win against a patsy at home in the 49ers, which they should be able to beat. Week two, that's when I would want my Thursday night game. Get it over with. You know, why not?
It's their only night game, right?
Only night game. And then you come back for the Giants in week three. So
winnable.
Can you get a better opportunity to go 2-1 and get this whole regime off to the right foot? And, yeah, then you got a crap load of road games, a ridiculous stretch. But you gotta play the games at some point.
Lee, I'll say two things. One, yes, they got screwed. And two, who cares? Who cares? Because we looked at last year's schedule, and Lee, you were leading the pack. 0-3, 0-4, maybe 0-4. They can't got to go to Chicago. They'll be improved. 0-4. Winston's going to be back. The season will be over already by the time Winston comes back. Lee, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. Who the hell beats the Saints in a shootout in the Superdome? Nobody, except Ryan Fitzpatrick, who takes care of the defending champion Eagles with a very solid win. They do. So you can't tell. Lee, you can't tell. I don't know right now that the 49ers aren't going to win 9 or 10 games next year. I don't know that, Lee. Neither do you.
No.
They're getting their quarterback back. They got the second pick in the draft.
Jimmy G.
You know, Jimmy G.
If he's ready, enough with this guaranteed he's back. The guy blew his knee out in, what, week 4 or 5 last year?
Yeah.
The Bucs have him on opening day. That's the perfect time to get Jimmy G, if he's even ready.
That is a good point, Stephen. But they could have a fearsome pass rush. Nick Bosa could be on that team, Quinnen Williams. They're going to have some stud at number two on Thursday night. So that's not necessarily a patsy going to Carolina and the Giants. I don't know how good the Giants will be. I don't think they'll be very good, if I had to say right now. They're stuck with Eli Manning. I don't know what the heck they're doing with Eli Manning. One of these years, you got to get a freaking quarterback.
Gettleman loves him, doesn't he?
I mean, I don't understand what Gettleman's doing. His reputation's taking a beating in
New
York.
Oh, he's getting raked over the coals.
He's killed. So, Steve, I guess my point is you can't read too much into a schedule. Yeah, they got screwed because the NFL guy even acknowledges that they got jobbed. He's rooting for the Bucs. They just gained another fan. That makes 11. But anyway... I don't mean that, Buck fans. I don't mean that. You guys are, you know, the Glazers call you the best fans in the league. And in a way, they are.
Yeah, they are. After
everything they've endured over here, there's no question about it. Port Richie Lou.
Loyal.
By the way, is Port Richie Lou coming? Is he down for the party? Steve,
absolutely. We heard the party details to open the podcast. We'll talk about that later. But of course, Lou's going to be out there.
You're right. Put the schedule behind you, Steve. Put it behind you.
You know, the thing about the schedule is, I understand why people are upset, but after listening to Mike North, no, not that Mike North. By the way, you know who the original Mike North is?
No, I don't think I do.
You should. He's the Chris Russo of Chicago, basically.
Oh.
Excellent. He's
at the big station? Was it BBM or?
The Score. He actually cussed out Ozzie Guillen on his show once.
Oh, I never heard of Mike North.
Oh, yeah, Mike North's a classic.
All right,
anyway,
so this is the NFL's Mike North, Vice President of Broadcasting and Scheduling.
That's why I always got to say, not that Mike North, not the one everybody's familiar with. Even Russo said that the other day on his show. Chris Russo goes, no, not that Mike North, not the broadcast. Because that's
well, how your Mike North is admitting that the NFL screwed up.
Sort of, but, you know, he
says
just said.
He wanted his back. He said he'd do it again.
He said if he could do a do-over. However, there's two elements here that I can't say the Bucs were screwed over. First off, the Bucs wanted that Super Bowl badly. Well, this is the penance they have to pay. They have to go to London. If they didn't get the Super Bowl, that London trip wouldn't be in there.
No, they didn't have to make it a division game. They didn't.
But they don't have to go, period, if they don't get the Super Bowl.
Right.
And so that's factor number one.
They haven't been overseas in a while.
And the only reason they are going overseas once again is the penance they have to pay for the Super Bowl. You want to host the Super Bowl? You got to cough up a home game and go to London. That's what they did. So that's point number one. Point number two is Mike North, no, not that Mike North, said on his interview on SiriusXM Radio, he said they purposely, the NFL, they looked at baseball and they tried to forecast what baseball teams were going to do well. They did not want their NFL teams to have home games in October to go up against a potential baseball playoff team. He said that's why the Phillies, 3 weeks on the road. Raiders, 3 or 4 weeks on the road. A's are always good. And he didn't say the Rays, but we saw the Rays damn near make the playoffs last year. And also the Rays got off to one hell of a start.
Whoa. All of a sudden we're worried about Rays euphoria?
No.
They get 11,000 when the Royals come
here's,
to town.
Here's what they're worried about. It comes down to two letters. Always with the NFL.
TV.
Thank you. And people are like, wait a minute. You know, no, they don't want any distractions. They want eyeballs on their games.
How the heck do they know the Rays are going to win 90 games?
Once again, they forecast. Mike North said he was this is Mel Brooks line. Yeah. He said the NFL tried to forecast what baseball teams they expected to be playing in October.
All of a sudden, the Rays are in the thorn in the Bucs' side over here?
It's not that at all. It's TV eyeballs.
It confused me because they're still going to be playing games. That's why I don't understand the TV end of it.
October?
Because the road game is still the game that would be seen. Now, I know
they don't want the market split up and distracted with something else.
If there's still a Bucs game in October during the World Series, they're on the road instead of at home. I don't know why that makes a difference for the TV eyeball.
If the Rays aren't in it, they don't care.
Did you just put the Rays in the World Series as bits?
No, I'm just saying I don't understand where the NFL was thinking because if they're concerned about that, the Bucks aren't going to take weeks off to not play. Now, maybe that's why they got the bye week, but we know that all the London games are in October anyway. I don't know. It just confused me.
I mean, he specifically said that was why the Phillies, he goes, they're worried about the Phillies. That's why the Eagles got 3 weeks on the road. And, oh, by the way, Raiders, same thing. Well, the A's are always making a run in October.
I believe them wholeheartedly. I just don't understand how that affects television, because if the Bucks are on the road, people are still watching on television if there's a Rays game.
Guys, the difficulty
they, of they don't want people – yeah, maybe I'm the only one who gets it. They don't want any hint of a distraction. NFL wants people watching them. They don't like – you know, I don't know if I want to watch the Bucks set thing because the Rays are playing tonight. I get it.
Well, guys, the difficulty of the challenge of the Bucks schedule deserves about 8 to 10 minutes of one podcast, and that's all we're going to talk about it.
But because, you know what's really cool?
Because everybody was totally off base last year vis-a-vis when the schedule
You know
came
what's
out.
Really interesting? At least with CBS Radio, the New York people are freaking out about the Bucks. I mean, outraged. Outraged. They're CBS Sports Radio, two radio shows, they just skewered the NFL.
It's good fodder to skew, kill the NFL.
Absolutely killed the NFL for that.
Yeah, no, it's fun. Tiki Barber, I was listening to him. He was on the same bandwagon. Bucks got screwed. And as you wrote, Ira, this wouldn't happen to the elite teams across the NFL. Just wouldn't happen. You know, but all the whining about the Bucks schedule, you know what? This year there's not one even opportunity of a cold weather game for the Bucks. When every year it used to be, fans would look, oh, gosh, we're going to have to play here or there. Last year in Baltimore, when I had that horrible situation where I couldn't open my damn umbrella, it's 38 because of the subway. Well, I got soaked. Anyway, but, you know, they had bad weather last year situations. Not even a hint of bad weather, but it is a rough schedule, Ira. And especially when you look at going to L.A., after the Giants game, you go to the Rams, play in that crappy stadium, and then
the problem is the Rams. That's the problem.
Exactly. And then you got to come back for the Saints. You know, that what talk about stress on your defense to play the Rams and the Saints back-to-back on the road.
It's not a Monday night game.
I know.
You know, I understand.
That's tough stretch, though.
Tough stretch.
When you see the road games toward the end of the season, or the cold weather sites, I should say, isn't Carolina the closest thing they have to a cold weather site in December?
No, Carolina's on the road week two.
Week two. On Thursday night.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, not even a hint of a cold weather game.
They play Carolina in London as well, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I don't know. I don't get the whining. I just want a good start. So it looks to me like they got every opportunity to do that.
Lee, I've told you before, I haven't come out of September with a winning record since Raheem's final year, 2011. And we saw how that turned out.
You know, I can't remember, and you were right on target about September, and you usually bring up December. I can't remember what got me going on this. Somebody was talking about December. I can't remember what got me going on this. But it was over the weekend, I studied the December record of the Bucks in the post-Chucky era.
Oof.
Take a wild guess what the record is. In the post-Chucky era, the record in December for the Bucks.
How many games are we talking about?
Talking 44 games.
34 games?
4-4.
Oh, 44 games?
Mm-hmm. 44 games.
I'll say 16 and 28.
11 and 33.
Oh!
That's,
what,
250? That's brutal.
Oh.
That's brutal. And people wonder why they're always in last place and wonder why they can't make a playoff run. When you choke on your dog in December like that.
Well, Lee, that,
choke
came,
like a dog.
Lee, that came into place in 2016. They were 8-5 in December, played two tough road games, Dallas and New Orleans. They probably had to win one of those games.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't.
They got none. All right, Ira, the Buccaneers are back on the practice field Tuesday and Wednesday before the draft. Last year, Dirk Koetter had everybody doing the OTAs after the draft so the rookies could integrate as much as possible. This time, Arians wants these guys out there before the draft, probably to get a deeper look at some of the bottom of the roster guys. But he's practicing in the afternoon, which I find interesting because that's the peak of the heat. You get a feeling that maybe he wants to send a message here. I don't know what that is. But Ira, no, I don't know. But you know what? What do you expect from Arians in these first two critical OTAs, real practices without the pads this week?
I think the most interesting aspect of this week's workouts, Lee, is going to be the process. How Arians handles these groups. He's got this huge staff. Now, I think it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
One, that leads me to believe that he might be delegating too much authority. But two, I think it helps you in terms of breaking up your groups and maximizing reps. And I think, Lee, Arians cannot wait to see the talent or the lack thereof that exists on this roster. And most guys are going to be here. Not everybody, but most guys are going to be here.
Except people he told to stay home.
And he's tired of looking at film with a 2018 Bucks. He's tired.
Like I'm tired about writing about the draft.
He's had him in the classroom. Lee, he's had him in the classroom. And that gets you so far. Now he wants to see if they can take some things from the classroom out on the field. Split them up. Let these coaches do their thing. Mm-hmm. And he's got a lot of faith in his staff. And quite frankly, so do I. I think it's a good staff. And I think he can't wait to get them out here. And that might talk to why he's doing it so early. He's doing it before the draft. I think his curiosity is getting the best of him, and I say bravo.
Well, I think most coaches, they want to get on the field. They want to get on the field, and I think that's the case here. He just wants to get on the field. Bring us up real quick. This is sort of a favorite subject of Steve's. It's about the December football again, and they're 11-33 in the post-Chucky era.
That's gruesome. That's gruesome.
Well, you know what? Steve, and I've always believed Steve always questioned the mental toughness of the Bucks. And when you're 11-33 in the same month, you know, spanning, what, 10 years?
And the weather gets a little colder.
I don't know if it's so much weather. I just think guys have already mailed it in. They got Costa Rica on the mind.
How about lack of depth showing up at that point?
Perhaps. But what I'm getting at is, you know, Steve has always written that he doesn't think this is a mentally tough team and hasn't been for some time. And I think this kind of reinforces what Steve thinks. It just, to me, if you have that bad a record in December, consistently that bad, you know, once December hits, you're like, I'm going to Costa Rica. Oh, the wife, I got to take the kids to Disney. Their mind is on January. And I'm not talking January football. Their mind is on vacation.
I think it just compares to the rest of the league. Doesn't mean they're all checked out, but when you compare it to the rest of the league, the Bucks have been soft at the end of the season for too long. But we are getting tough on the draft. Dr. David Wank is with us. We're going to be hammering all kinds of stuff, and I am fired up about it, Ira. General Manager Brian Danahy at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, when he makes a promise, he keeps it. In fact, that's the way it is at Ed Morris. Over 1.2 million people have been backed by Morris with their price protection promise. And right now, during the Move Up sales event, drive a 2019 XT4 Premium Luxury just $299 a month. Plus, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa will make your first payment. Visit edmorriscadillactampa.com, edmorriscadillactampa.com for all the details at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon right there on their website, edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. All the great offers for this month are laid out for you. 2019 Cadillac CTS, $399 lease per month. 2019 Cadillac XT4, the all-new XT4, $339 lease per month, and your first payment is waived. EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com is the website, and the dealership there is right on Causeway Boulevard. Hector LeBron, general manager, ask for him. He will take care of you personally. He's happy to give that personal service. Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Thanks to them for sponsoring all of Ira Kaufman's work at JoeBucksFan.com. They make him possible to continue entertaining and being the sage of Tampa Bay sports. All right, Ira, we need to get your ass straightened out here. We need reason. We need intelligence on this podcast. So we're bringing in Dr. David Wank, great friend of you, Ira, great friend of JoeBucksFan.com, and of course, medical oncologist, Florida Cancer Specialists and Research Institute.
He's a very discerning Buck fan.
If discerning means really knowledgeable and intense and passionate.
I love to throw these words out at the Kemper because he's got a little pocket thesaurus over there. He goes right to it.
I got to pin you down, Ira. We haven't talked enough about the draft. It's draft week. So I'm going to hit you first, even though the doctor's going to get after you. Where do you stand? What are the Bucks going to do? What do you want them to do? And what should fans know from you? I know you've been talking to people across the country. I know you don't want to throw your names out there.
My man Zeke in Missouri, he's a key source for me.
Come on. What are they going to do? What should they do? Where are you?
Bosa's gone. Williams is gone. They're not going to move up from 5-2 and give up a 2 and a 3. That would be absurd. So they're sitting there at 5. They take the best player on their board. Yes, Lee, and yes, Doctor. Devin White, linebacker, Louisiana State. Why? They need a freaking leader on that side of the board. They don't, on the ball, they don't have a leader. JPP, with all due respect, Vita Vea, Carl Nassib, next. We don't know about anybody else. And Mr. Wink, unless you can convince me that Vernon Hargraves is going to be the face of that defense, you got to get somebody in the middle of that field and cover guys like Kamara and McCaffrey, and I think White can get the job done. Devin White, you're on board, Doctor.
I am not on board, Ira.
Can't believe you're supporting DeKemper.
What have we seen? What have we seen this last decade with the Bucs?
A lot of losses.
Besides a lot of losses, a lot of quarterbacks sitting back there, flossing their teeth, brushing their hair, doing whatever they want, having 10, 15 seconds to throw, it seems like. We can't rush the passer. You need a pass rusher. And, you know, that's great. You can cover, but, you know, covering is not going to get sacks. Covering is not going to put the quarterback on his butt. And that's why the Bucs can't win. They can't get to the quarterback. You need a defensive lineman. This draft is heavy in defensive talent, defensive line, defensive end. You need an elite player. I don't care what kind of leader. I want someone who can sack a quarterback.
What if 4 D linemen are off the board by pick 5? Do they go 5 deep in D line? In your mind, that's worth the pick.
Well, I can't believe there's 4. I got to believe Kyler Murray's going. Kyler Murray is going to go in the top. If it doesn't go to Arizona, somebody's going to trade up and get him.
So that would only leave 3 spots.
So there's got to be a chance for getting a good defensive line that you don't have to reach, in my view, to get an inside linebacker.
Is Quinnen Williams a pass rusher in your mind?
I mean, you look at his stats. I mean, his tackles for loss, you know, he's double teamed every time, and he's still getting to the quarterback. He's a run stuffer. The guy's an all-around stud.
Well, Ira, I got to jump in because we've got a doctor in the house, right? So there's out there, and it's going to keep heating up. The number one thing we're going to see in the 48 hours to the draft, it's going to be a lot of BS. Some of it might be real, is Montez Sweat rumors and his heart condition. People want him to fall in that draft, and then there's the truth in there. Doctor, what do you think might be going on there? Can you speculate?
You know, the problem with the draft, and I don't know how much of this stuff is just put out there to either, you know, to inflate or deflate somebody's status. And,
a lot of smoke out
exactly,
there.
Exactly. How much of this is true, especially when it comes to medical. I mean, how is this stuff leaked? I mean, so I don't know what to believe. You know, definitely, you know, cardiomyopathies and other heart conditions are definitely, I mean, you look at some tragic cases of NFL players that have died from cardiomyopathy. You look at Owen Bucks, Gaines Adams, you know, what happened there and things. So there's definitely, you know, instances with some of these guys that have that develop these heart conditions. But I don't know. It's so hard to speculate. You hear these medical and how much of it is true. And I don't know. With Sweaty, he's a good player. And I don't know. I'm curious to see how much he falls because of this potential.
Let me ask Mr. Wink a question here, Stephen. How far could the Bucs trade back and you still be comfortable that they will get a pass rusher? How many spots can they go back?
You know, I was thinking about this, you know, when this whole trade back scenario, and I was looking the last couple of drafts. When is the last time the Bucs have actually done something with their picks? So you look and go back to 2016. They trade back Vernon Hargraves, still get him. And they use their ammo to draft a kicker. We all know how that turned out. So that was a waste. This past draft, they trade back with Vea. Okay, they still get him. And then they use that to draft MJ Stewart, right? An extra cornerback in the second round who's competing to even for a roster spot now. So I have no confidence that trading back is going to yield anything positive. You know, you stay where you are. You get the best player you can. You get an impact player. And you go from there. Because more picks, what I've seen the last couple of years, doesn't guarantee anything.
Do you share DeKemper's belief that most of the time an inside linebacker is not going to have that kind of an impact? Just not going to have it.
I do.
For evaluate the pick 5.
You look at the league. The league is about sacking the quarterback, or at least pressuring the quarterback. That's how games are won and lost. I mean, we see that. The rules, you cannot cover people in this day and age in the NFL. It's impossible. You're going to get flagged. You have to put the quarterback on the ground, or at least pressure him enough, and that's how you can get picks. You cannot cover in this league. I don't care who it is.
I can't remember who said this. I heard it this morning. The best pass defense, making sure the quarterback doesn't throw the damn ball. It's the best pass defense. Now, I was asking you about trading back. And a little bit ago, you the disgust on your face about trading up, I'd trade up before I'd trade back for the very reason you're talking about. When's the last time they did anything in the second round? If the Jets are actually really holding, dangling out that number three pick like they claim they are, you take that second pick, please, because we'll blow it either way. Take it. Take it. So that means Jared Allen or Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
I'd pull the trigger immediately.
I'll take Jared Allen.
That guy, too. Yeah, Jared Allen. But, I mean, when's the last time the Bucs had a second?
Steve, are the Bucs in position to give up a second-round pick?
Hell yeah.
A high second-round pick?
All right, I got a lot of bones. I got bones to pick with you, Ira, because I'm still seething.
Me? Three people have talked and you single me out.
Well, I'm seething over your opening line. They need to draft a leader? You're gonna expect to draft a rookie to lead this team? That's insane.
Well, they did that in 2015. They drafted a rookie to lead this
team. That's
quarterback. Yeah, a guy handles
the ball.
That's quarterback.
You're going to draft a leader, and what, he's going to walk in and start telling everybody, follow me? Come on, man.
What are you going to do? Have everybody follow Will Golston on week one? Give me a leader out there. This guy White's got some intangibles, gentlemen. And 4.4 speed.
Jack Ham once said, enough of this rhetoric. How about production? Just get production. Produce.
He might be a great player.
I don't care if you can lead a guy to the toilet. Produce.
I can't go. You draft him. They need a leader of the defense. Let's go draft him. I can't buy that. They need a lot of talent. I would trade down, Ira, so I'm with you there. Because I don't care if he sucks so bad that we can't trade down and hope he's going to do a good job.
Why is he here?
Then fire him right now. If we can't trade down and get picks because he sucks, then get him out of here.
That's a tough one, Doc. That's a tough one.
So I'm banking on that Bruce Arians is better. Maybe the combination of them is better. I would love to see, because they need so many bodies on defense, I want to vomit. Right now, Vernon Hargraves, he's the best cornerback we got.
When's the last time they drafted anybody in the second round that's done something?
Thank you.
Give me three positions in order you want them to take off the board. Three.
You need defensive line. You need cornerback. And you need linebacker.
Not O-line. You'll wait.
I'm okay with the old, you know, right. Obviously, right guard and was a sieve last year. Right tackle was a problem, but you know, the left side it seems to be okay. Center is okay. Maybe some better coaching, but at least there's some bodies there. But the defense is where the problem is. Often the Bucs can score a lot of points. I have no doubt about that with how they're made now. But the defense is the problem. I still go back to that New Orleans game. You win a game, but you gave up 40 points. I mean, it's a joke. And so they have to find a way to cover people. And, you know, the more I think to Lee's point, I think maybe trading up does make more sense. Because people act like these draft picks are some great currency that have tremendous value. But who says they're all boom or bust? You know, so you got two second-round picks. Well, what if the Bucks
done
with
that?
They
got value if you trust your freaking scouting department. Well,
and what in the past 6 years demonstrates that they're going to nail a guy at second
fair
round?
Point.
Exactly.
Fair
that's that, that's what I'm getting at. You know, pick the player's name. You think that guy is going to, you know, give a quarterback nightmares for the next 10 years, don't fart around. Go trade up and get him. Because otherwise, you're looking at drafting the next Noah Spence, the next Roberto Aguayo.
On and on.
And that's where if you think Quinnen Williams is that good, go and get him. You know, what is the use having these picks that, you know, again, what are they going to turn out to be?
Well, on the flip side, because we sort of have an example last year, if they traded up and got Quinnen Williams, that would have looked great, all-pro guard, and so you would have lost.
You mean Quentin Nelson.
Quentin Nelson.
Q.
That would have looked good. You would have lost your second-round pick in Ronald Jones. We'd all be happy.
That's true.
That's another second-round pick we didn't mention.
But wait, aren't they saying he's the most impressive guy right now in OTAs?
That's what we hear.
How many of you guys remember, I'm sure Steve does, when Jason Light crowed about how good Doug Martin looked playing in a sandbox?
Dave,
a couple months later, he's gone.
Doctor, are you comfortable with the Buck backfield? Do you share Arians' love for Peyton Barber, and is that enough?
Well, according to Arians, Barber's going to be an All-Pro this year. It seems like I'll tell you that I think Peyton Barber is a solid back. He's not going to be some home run hitter that's going to, you know, everyone's going to be wearing a Barber jersey, you know, come to the stadium and not the number 20. Yeah, not the number 20.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's a solid back. He gets good yards after contact. He's not a stud kind of running back, but he'll get you some yards.
How about a third down back that can catch the ball? Isn't that missing?
I thought we got one who hasn't played in a year.
And by the way, my guy, T.J. Yeldon, Just signed, I believe, with the Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills, Bills. That's
right. I've been screaming for this
guy. As soon as I heard that, I'm like, yeah, that's Ira's guy.
That's my guy over there,
all
David.
Right, Ira, look, let's go around the horn here. We'll go to you, since you're the sage and you got all the answers. Then we'll go to Lee, and we'll go to Dr. Wank, and I'll clean up the mess that you leave. So, Ira.
By the way, who was screaming about Quentin Nelson for a month before the draft saying this kid is special? Who? Me.
That's you, Ira.
And all of a sudden, the Colts are in the playoffs, and they look like a dangerous team. They're running the ball. They don't have a great running back, but the guy's opening holes like a monster, period. Now, I'm not saying they could have pried him away from the Colts. I think the Colts were going to take him when they took him, and there was nothing much the Bucs could have done unless they jumped ahead.
They would have
had to
jump over him.
They would have had to jump over him.
All right, Ira, inside one buck, what is the grand plan that Arians put out in front of the Glazers? Because you know that when he interviewed for the job, he said, here's the plan. Here's how we're going to attack the draft in year one, year two. What is the plan? What are these guys sitting around thinking? What do they want out of this? What's the goal? What's the two-year plan as it relates to this draft?
I think the plan and the speech to the Glazers, and I don't want to be crude about this, Doctor, but I think the great pitch was, you got talent on this team. We're going to coach them up. Look out. We got a staff. I've got a staff. And you didn't have much of a staff, to be honest. You drafted guys. Jason Light is a good talent evaluator. This is the speech. He's not going to trash Jason Light to Joel Glazer. Jason made some good picks. They didn't coach these guys up. You haven't seen what they can do. We're going to add to the mix. We're going to get three or four more guys that are contribute immediately as rookies. And you will see a world of difference with this coaching staff. Now, Doc, that sounds great, but I'm going to bring it up to you right now, put you on the spot because you're used to it. My concern, and I need you to talk me off the ledge, I don't want Arians delegating an awful lot of responsibilities to this humongous coaching staff, which has backups to backups. And are you concerned, maybe to put it crudely, how invested is Bruce Arians in the 2019 Bucs?
You know what? And maybe it's out there. I didn't see it. I never got a chance to see the contract that he was given. I don't know if it was made public.
Military secret.
Yeah. I'm sure he was paid a boatload of money, and that money was not paid for him to be delegating anything. I think when, you know, if I'm Brian or Joel or whomever sitting down, he's like, look, we're bringing you in. We're paying you a ton of money.
We're paying for Bruce Arians.
He might be getting, you know, one of the top salaries of all coaches, maybe next to Gruden. But it's like, look, I'm not having Byron Leftwich run, you know, the offense. You're going to be running the offense. We brought you in here to do it. So I don't think the delegating is going to be a problem. At least I sure hope not.
I think the big pitch, Steve, to ownership was, I'm going to put a hell of a staff together, and we're going to develop the guys that Jason Light picked and the guys that Jason and I picked together.
All right. Before I throw it to Lee on the same question, because I know Lee's probably going to go here. When Lovey was here, the mindset...
Now you already got him.
Well, yeah, I bring up Lovey. It's Lee's department. The mindset when Lovey was here, so we heard, was Lovey's going to draft offense the first couple of years, and then he's going to go to the defense. That was sort of the plan, and Lovey was all pissed off, allegedly, because he never got to draft those defensive players, and he was stuck with the Jonathan Bankses and all his toys like Michael Jenkins. And
Lovey's not the only one who was pissed off. Lovey's friends,
right,
of long stature also were pissed off that he never got that year three, which was supposed to be turned over to the other side of the ball.
Right. Now, we know he didn't deserve it, I'm turning it to Lee. As Lee, what do you think the plan is at one buck for this draft in the grand plan, like when they sat with the Glazers a couple of months ago and said, this is what we want to do in this draft and maybe attack this in the next draft?
I don't know, because the rumors are they're going to take an inside linebacker and just melts my brain.
Yeah, so baby.
I just can't. Ira, if they do this, I don't ever want to hear you whine about no pass rush. Never.
Lead is a
never.
Table in front
Period.
Of you to smash that fist down.
Period.
Should you be so inclined? And don't do it on that on the mustard over there.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know what. I mean, this organization is damn near joking. I'm about yet that far away, and my finger and thumb are about half an inch apart. That far away from giving up on this team.
What if this so-called inside linebacker, one of the two Devons, could be Bush? What if they turn out to be a perennial Pro Bowler?
Won't matter.
Are you going to smack that pick around?
No, if
and
they
say it's a bad pick.
Look, it's all about production and wins. If they turns out to be a, you know, if it's Devin White and he's an All Pro, great. Yeah, you made the right pick. Just get the right pick. I just don't think right now for what they need, he's the fit.
That's Steve's mantra. Don't screw it up.
Exactly.
Don't screw it up.
Look, Aguayo could have been the right pick, and they could have had him for 15 years, but he wasn't. So it looks like a terrible pick. So just make the right pick.
It does come back to that for me. I mean, if let's say they draft Devin White, who I don't want to see them draft, but if they draft him, I mean, I got to cheer for the guy and feel like...
I'm not going to cheer against him.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it's
You know, I know what you mean.
To this day, I still think O.J. Howard was the wrong pick. Now, I hope he becomes... I hope the sucker has a bust in Canton. He's a hell of a player. But this team was screaming for a running back in a running back loaded draft. And instead, they draft a guy who can't read his own name. I mean, come on.
I don't like to rip them for taking the best player on their board, though, Dave. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
I think that was a great pick. O.J. Howard is...
he's going to be a great player, but
he'll be the best tight end in football.
They already had a tight end. They needed a running back, and that's one reason why Cutter is unemployed. They had no running attack. It was pass only, and I think that screwed up Jameis.
To address the legions of haters that the comments that don't make it through and stuff, Lee doesn't mean he's not going to cheer for the Bucs when he says
exactly.
I give up on it. It means that I'll have no – really another way of saying I'll have zero faith in this organization and they'll get what they deserve if they make a stupid move is really why I
pretty much.
Paraphrase.
I'll just have zero hope.
Yeah. All right. You love to ask questions. I'll ask you a question, Professor.
It's not my podcast, but sure, go ahead.
Who's making the fifth pick? Light, Arians, or the Glazers?
Ira, I've said this 100 times. It's the Glazers made the fifth pick when they chose Bruce Arians and said, you're in charge, Bruce.
That's a good answer.
That's how it went.
That's a good answer. Doc, you got any problem with that?
This is what Arians is brought here for. This is his team. You know, whether, you know, the Glazers obviously are going to be on the same page with them, but this is his team. I mean, this is not Jason Light's pick. I mean, you know, Light's only got a job, I think, because he was able to, you know, get Arians to come over. Otherwise, Light would be gone. You know, so, no, this is Arians' pick, and, you know,
is there any way the Bucs could stick at five and not take either a D lineman or a linebacker? Is there any other possibility?
Oh,
and
sure.
Don't throw quarterback out there.
I'll say yes, because I think there's a slim possibility that Arians looks at this team and says the only way we can win is to score 30 points a game. So you know what? I want that best tackle right now. So he goes.
Yeah, I could see.
I could see him doing
not
that.
Running back.
No, the tackle.
I mean,
Lee, can you see that?
Yes and no. Because I can only go by Arians' words, his own words. He said, you draft the offensive lineman, you develop him for the next coach. His own words. If everything was even, and I never heard Arians say that, which he did. We've had the video on JoeBucksFan.com a couple times. If I never heard him say that, I could see it.
I'm not sure there's an old lineman worth the fifth pick.
No, Jonah Williams.
Jonah
Williams.
He'd be the only one, but I don't think he's going that
high,
though.
Maybe a little bit of reach. But I thought of this today. I would not be stunned, to Steve's point, I would not be stunned if he drafted a wide receiver for the exact same reason Steve's saying. The only way we're going to win, we got to put points on the board.
Could he possibly take DK Metcalf at number five?
Maybe he looks at it this way and says, look, the defense with Mike Smith was so inept, and maybe he's looking at his coaching. He brings Bowles in. Bowles
we're going to coach up, these guys
shores
up
the defense, you know, takes away a big play here and there and knocks that average points they're giving up
and it'll
a little
complete
bit.
70% against us.
And then they can, you know, score a little bit more points and maybe say, hey, that's an additional four wins.
Well,
and that
Steve
puts you
said,
over.
Doc, Steve says if they go from 24 points a game to 28, they'll make the playoffs, statistically speaking.
All right, well, look, Dr. Wank, very quickly when asked about the needs, went to cornerback. I think it was the second thing you mentioned. So let's be realistic, Ira. If we were not here in Tampa, if we were just sitting on the beach somewhere in Texas or whatever, and we looked at the Bucs, we'd say, you can't win in the NFC South with no freaking cornerbacks. We've got Vernon Hargraves. Nobody knows if the guy can play legitimately. Carlton Davis, complete unknown. What do we got? We got no Ryan Smith. We suck at cornerback, and people expect this team to win.
So Dr. Wink's answer is? Put the quarterback on his ass.
Right, exactly. But I still, even if you had a good pass rush, this cornerback stable is awful with no good safeties to complement them.
But Lee, there's no corner that represents value at number five. There just doesn't seem to be.
And that's just what I'm talking about with an unsigned linebacker. You don't draft him at number five.
I don't see Patrick Peterson in this draft. I don't see
it. There aren't.
Greedy Williams is a good cover guy, but he's not want to tackle, shall we say.
But, I mean, this is the problem with the Bucs. They have too many holes, and you can't get it fixed.
Gosh.
And so there's just not cornerbacks that are high enough in this draft.
You can't draft bad for 5 years and not pay a price. You just can't.
Well, that's why we're trying
to figure out. Hello, Arizona Cardinals.
See, this is why we're sitting here, because if there weren't so many holes, we would have a very clear idea of what they're going to do. But we don't really know, because I don't know what Arians looks at this and says, I don't know. Where do you go?
You know, safety ain't exactly a stronghold either, but they're not going to take a safety at five.
But there's another high draft pick invested in safety.
There's a
second-round pick. All these second-round picks in the secondary, and we're all sitting here saying we don't have any secondary.
When they could have had Alvin Kamara.
And that's a problem.
And Hargrave is a first-round pick.
A high first-round
pick. So two second-rounders and a first-rounder since 2016.
Well, you could argue, three. You got Justin Evans. You got MJ Stewart. You got Carlton Davis. There's three second-rounders, and then plus the first-rounder.
Now, to not go too negative, right, let's just say, let's put on the happy goggles, right? Let's just say Arians coaches these guys up better on defense, and either Hargraves or Davis has a really good year as an outside corner, and the other one, not much. Well, we're still very weak and thin at corner, period, and there's no nickel. I wanted to ask your opinion, because this came up. I heard it today, and because you knew the guy better than we did, and just your quick thoughts. Corey Ivey played corner for the Bucs here 4 years, got a ring, special teams guy, went on to the Ravens and their good defense. And he is in coaching now.
He's a sharp guy.
He was an intern for Arians in Arizona. So he knows, and when Bowles was there. And Corey Ivey also coached with the Ravens, and now he's coaching with UCF. He said, and he clearly has been watching the Bucs. Sometimes you can tell when a guy's BS and whatever. He's been watching. He said Vernon Hargraves is definitely better suited for nickel, because of his, he can use his quickness and he doesn't see him on the outside.
Why do you want to piss off DeKemper?
What do you think of that?
No.
How many times has Lee said you didn't draft him at that high to be a nickel?
Well, that's true.
Nickels are on the field 70% of
the
time.
No, they are.
Boy, that doesn't say much. Hargraves wasn't that bad as a rookie, outside corner.
No, he wasn't. I still think that was too high of a pick. That was a pick in hindsight, 2020. I never liked that pick. I thought that was a reach. You're drafting an undersized corner.
He hasn't shown off his ball skills. Where's the ball skills?
If he didn't play at Florida, that pick wouldn't have been made. I think that was.
Think
a,
so?
I just think there was a lot of exposure because he played close to town.
He cuts through all the nonsense, Steven. That's why we got him on.
Isn't that
podcast.
What I said about this Devin White? If he played in the Big Ten, you wouldn't have so many people screaming.
Perhaps. Although Nick Bosa's getting a lot of play in the Big Ten.
Well, I mean, that's a no-brainer.
He's also got a brother that's kind of good.
Any chance Bosa falls to five, Doc?
No way. I think he's one of the guys that is not getting beyond three. I'd love to have him, but he's not going to fall.
Now, I'll tell you what, if the 49ers take him at two, which they might, if the quarterback goes one, the Bucs got to face him week one. They got DeForest Buckner. They got Solomon Thomas. Mm-hmm. They got Dee Ford.
Yep.
That's no picnic for Jameis Winston.
I still can't believe D Ford was out there for a second round pick.
I'd like to
keep him. Oh my gosh!
I don't understand what he's.
I swear! I must be the only one seeing this. I don't know what's going on in Olmbach. I really don't. I don't understand. You could have D Ford then draft the defensive tackle along with Villa. Your defensive line set for a freaking decade, and these valuable second round picks. Oh boy! And I must be the only one that sees this. I just don't get it.
See, I'm with Lee. Get an established player that's proven in this league.
And he's on the upswing.
Exactly. Again, people act like draft picks are some, capital. But a lot of times that capital is worthless.
Especially when you're a guy like Light and you don't know if you're going to be back here next year or not.
I think on the back of that Buck shirt you're wearing, Doctor, we need to put "I'm with Lee" on the back. I think we should sell a line of T-shirts that says "I'm with Lee."
I like
that. And if there's more room, you say, and certainly not with the Sage.
Screw the Sage.
Screw the Sage.
Because you figure if we sell one or the other, everyone's going to buy them, right? Somebody will have a choice. We should have done that. It's too late now.
By the way, I'm looking forward to the draft party, Steven. How do you like that?
Absolutely. So let me just run down the quick specifics for everybody. Buffalo Wild Wings, South Tampa. The music's going to start around 5:30. DJ is booked, and the music's outside, right? So it's not a dance party, Ira. You don't have to be, and there's not going to be any 1960s rock and roll there. No Peter Frampton live.
No Peter Frampton.
Did you see he actually had a Twitter about a musician that published their first song after the Nixon administration?
Wow.
I couldn't believe it.
That's correct.
I'm sitting there like, whoa, Ira, you okay?
That's correct. I'm so, a classic rock man.
So the parking lot, chunk of it's blocked off, outdoors. The buffet is going to be outside like last year. Beer tubs, and it's very convenient. And then there's the whole inside, which is very comfortable, regular menu, the whole deal.
I believe our guest of honor is planning on attending on Thursday night. Mr. Dave.
Absolutely.
I will be there.
Absolutely.
I will absolutely be there.
And, of course, the draft kicks off at 8, and there'll be the draft indoors and outside where you can watch. And with
the Bucks will pick at 8:01.
With the audio.
Move up to the number one pick.
Yeah, with the audio. No music once the draft starts. It's cutting off like 10 of. And the Bucks are scheduled to pick 5th, of course. That'll go at about 9 o'clock. And I think last year almost everybody stayed through maybe picks 25 or so. So the crowd's there for the draft all the way through. And there'll be cops out there like there were last year.
I expect to have inside information on the Bucks' first-round pick by the time I get to that party. Just like I walked in screaming O.J. Howard.
O.J. Howard, I remember that.
Doctor, you were there.
The legendary there. Draft party.
Everybody's talking about the running back at FSU.
Yep.
They got to get him.
Cook.
At Cook. And I said, if O.J. Howard is there, they're going to take him. And Steve, of all people, knows why I was so adamant about that. And that's a story for another day.
And 22 losses later, here we are.
Yeah, here we are. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you even look at last year, right? They go with MJ Stewart. And I'll still never forget Mark Dominic on Sirius the next day.
NFL Radio.
He was just stunned that the Bucks rated MJ Stewart that high. The next day, he's like, I don't know anybody who rated him that high, and I can't believe it. And I can't believe Carlton Davis was still there for them after they did that. It was bizarre. And here we are. But, you know, they could have had Dante Jackson. And they wanted a cornerback. They ended up taking 2. And this guy plays shutdown corner for Carolina. And that's just the little stupid things that change the course of the division. You know?
Now, Doc, suppose. I don't want to go out on a limb here. But suppose the Bucks come out of these first 2 days of this draft, Thursday and Friday, with 3 stud players. They don't all have to be defense, but 3 stud players. One could be a guard. One could be a running back, maybe Josh Jones. You know, the Alabama running back falls to the top of the second round. He's still out
Jacobs.
There. Jacobs. And, I mean, I've been saying this to these guys, and you've been hearing me say it. Every year, there's 5 new playoff teams. Every freaking year. That's what's great about this league, as opposed to some of these other leagues, when you can pick the playoff teams before the puck's dropped or whatever. You can't do that in football, for the most part, except for New England. Except.
Yeah, New England's got their ticket every year.
Yes.
You know.
So what I'm saying is, would it take that much to turn this franchise around? Will it?
I really think it doesn't matter who they draft. I think it comes down to number 3. And is he going to be the guy that throws 4 picks in a game like we saw in Cincinnati? Or is he going to be the guy throwing 4 or 5 touchdowns, not turning the ball over, and the Bucks are going to win games? Yeah, they can get some impact players, but I think it's going to come down to the quarterback play. And if Arians can solve the Winston, you know, mystery puzzle, whatever you want to call it, Bucks are going to win a lot of games.
Is that putting too much burden on Jameis Winston, Steve?
No, he's the quarterback. All right, we're going to say goodbye to the doctor. We're going to send him out with a question, and we're just going to let you address Bucks fans and address us because we're too close to all this, Doc. Where do you see the Bucks right now as far as this season? You've looked at the schedule. You see how the offseason is shaped up. You're basically a regular fan who's super intense. What do you see for the team for this season?
Well, should I give you the prediction I saw at the opening day? It was in the bathroom behind Joel Glazer. And so I told him 11-5. I think he even laughed at me when I said that. But, no, I'm always the optimistic guy. I'm really banking like all Bucks fans are that there is talent there, and I truly believe there is. You know, watching the playoffs last year, you know, watching New England with less talent than the Rams, you know, just outplay them because they're better coached. And so my hope is that Arians will, you know, get better coaching and he'll take the talent, and ultimately that'll lead to wins. And so because the offseason was a big snoozer for the Bucks, partly because there's no money. Because of that, it's the offseason move was the Arians hire. That was the big free agent signing. And we'll see what happens in the draft. But, you know, it's all going to come down to can these guys be coached up, and hopefully we'll get some wins.
All right, thanks, Doc.
Well said.
By the way,
it.
The siren, So that, see what happens when you mention MJ Stewart?
Exactly. And we might call you back in May to prescribe some things for Lee.
Could you do me a favor, though, on draft night? Is there any way we can get a little closed camera in on Lee if they do draft an inside linebacker at 5?
I want to see. He'll be at 1 buck plus.
I want to see the reaction in the media room.
You know what? That's
there.
A great
idea. I got to play professional.
I think
there.
That could be.
I'll
be
get
a great,
somebody that's going to be in that room to take
that'd
a picture.
Be like
of.
A Facebook Live. We could draft. You know, broadcast it at the draft party. We'll have the Lee cam up here.
That's a good idea.
Outstanding.
The Lee cam. I like that.